On another episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we are continuing our coverage of Chasing Eren. I mean, Attack on Titan. That's right. We are finishing part two of season four. That's episodes 76 through 85, right after these ads we have no control over.
Sing along if you know the words. One, two, three, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of Animation Deliberation, where we take action animation seriously, but not too seriously. I'm your host, Suhara Lee, and my co-host is with me, J. Scotty St. Clair. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, doing well. Happy to be here. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm feeling the rumbling and ready to take on the weekend.
Okay, so right off the bat, it's difficult to know where to begin with everything that happened, but you mentioned the rumbling, and we talked about it last episode, and I just sang our theme song. So on the subjects of theme song, I gotta say, I love this new theme song. I rarely skip it, and when I do skip it, I make sure to cue it right before that part where we get the scream, where Eren throws his head back and his hair comes down. Because it just gives me goosebumps every time. Yeah, it's so good. I catch myself singing it all the time. If I lose it all, it's badass. It's great.
So I didn't overhype it.
No, you didn't. Not at all.
Yeah, I've been listening to the song for a while. So here, like watching it with the actual like opening animation and stuff, just like made it so much better. And I mean, As soon as you hopped on, like you heard me listen to it on my speaker. Like it's always stuck in my head. It's a fantastic song.
It is. It's great.
Scoots.
Yo.
So I talked to my buddy about this because he was like, "Dude, after I was like, as soon as you're caught up, like make sure you let me know. Make sure you let me know." He's been excited for this day for some time.
Sure.
I text him. I was like, I'm done. I'm caught up. What do you think? My thoughts at this point. Season one of Attack on Titan was a 10 out of 10 for me in the span of this show. Since then, this show has had moments that have been a 9.
Okay.
So in comparison to season one, nothing has topped it.
Okay. I can agree with that. I think the show definitely hit a pinnacle in season one, just in terms of like delivering us this world that we'd never seen before and really capitalizing on the mystery and investing you in the story. But I'd say somewhere around season three, probably when Eren started to relive his father's memories, that's where I was kind of at the same level of hype as I was for season one, if that makes sense.
I think the back half of season three overall got me to that, because There was a mission, there was action, there was like determination, there was stakes. And the Titans were such a threat.
Sure.
But now it's more people against people, and I think that's where you lose a little of the intrigue in the show. It's still a great show, don't get me wrong. It's just that with that bar and 4 years between like every set of seasons, like the anticipation was so high that like I don't feel like it's actually met it yet. Again, there's great moments. The fight sequences have been amazing, but it's like,
no doubt,
I feel like we've had more character development with Gabi in a season than we have the heroes that we started off with.
That's a totally fair criticism, I would say. Season four has just been on fire in terms of, just giving us a brand new set of characters and endearing us to them very quickly. You mentioned Gabi, but I also think about Niccolo. I can't remember his rank. I want to say General McGath from the Marleyan army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are fair criticisms, but it's as exciting as it is to be caught up with the show and next week we'll be able to, you know, react to episodes right after they air and whatnot. It is a little bittersweet because I kind of feel like ever since I got caught up, I've had kind of a Titan-sized hole in my viewing experience here. I'm trying to find other shows to kind of fill that void, which it's not animation, but I will say it's on Hulu. I've been watching Dave from FX, and that show is
oh my god, hysterical. You just started it?
Yeah, I did.
Dude, that is one that I want, like, the week that it came out, like, I watched it week by week, and it is hysterical. Season one is just, like, some of the best television I've ever seen, like...
For sure.
Oh, man, I can't even get into that right now. It's just, like, when the comedy hits, it hits. When the story hits, it hits. Like, that show is just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. It's got some Dave stellar writing.
Check it out.
Yes, yes.
Little Dicky. You mentioned, so we have two episodes left, and it leads me to an interesting article that I found. I've never heard of this source before, so I don't know how, you know, viable it is, but it seems legit. So the DualShockers reports that not only are there two episodes left, but the last episode is supposed to cover up until the end of part two is supposed to cover up until chapter 130 of the manga series.
Hmm, okay.
Interestingly, the manga series has a total of 139 chapters, so after episode 87, MAPPA will have 9 more chapters to animate. So there's a slight chance that we'll get a part 3 in the final season. Either that or the animation studio will conclude the story through a movie. What are your thoughts on that?
Whew. That is brand new news to me, so I'm formulating my thoughts on the fly here right now.
This article came out 2 minutes before, like, you hopped on.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. And I'm trying to think if I'm familiar with that entity, DualShockers. It kind of reminds me of, like, maybe a video game outlet or something like that, but I could totally understand and see them going the film route, especially with the success that a lot of anime films have had in theaters over the last couple of years here in the States. Like, we covered, you know, My Hero Academia, World's Heroes Mission, as well as the Mugen Train arc from Demon Slayer that was adapted for, it was a movie before it was adapted for the television season. So,
and now Jujutsu Kaisen's coming out this year, which
has a
lot of anticipation behind it. That might be the next anime I start, just so I can watch the movie.
Okay. Yeah, as disappointing as it would have to be to wait a little bit longer to get the conclusion of the story, if they can pour that kind of budget into it, you've got my money. My ticket's already basically bought. So I guess those are my on-the-fly thoughts regarding that news.
I would like that. Unless it's like 9 chapters of, like, conclusion, then I don't really see what you get a movie out of that. But if there is, like, a final showdown that needs to take place, yeah, I think a movie would be phenomenal for that.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm torn because, like, there's 2 episodes left, and where they are in the story doesn't seem like they can finish it up in 40 minutes, you know?
Do you think there'll be extended episodes? Is that a possibility? Because I kind of agree with you. At this point in time, we've kind of talked about who the ultimate antagonist would be, and sometimes it seemed like it would be Marley, other times it seemed like it might be Zeke. But at this point in time, it kind of seems like it's Eren.
It is Eren.
Yeah, which is wild.
Like, the Marleyans and the Paridians have had to team up to fight him, so...
Yeah. I mean... They came to, I guess they came to a rough understanding over Hanji's stew there, you know, which I noticed in the little title cards that they throw in from time to time. They mentioned how it was full of potatoes, so it was extra filling, but had to be pretty tasty. They put
a lot of emphasis on, like, cutting the potatoes on that too. I was like, man, Sasha would have loved that. You probably wouldn't have had enough supplies, but Sasha would have loved it.
Aw, poor Sasha. Yeah, that was a great scene, and I loved how after, you know, all was said and done, Levi just has to pop his head up and be like, "Too damn noisy," whatever he said.
that was pretty gruesome of the scene that we got of Hanji stitching up his face and bandaging him up, and I was like, I mean, I imagine worse, so I'm glad that's all it is, but the poor guy.
At least he's alive. At least he's alive.
Like, I'm still ready to fight. Like, what do you mean run off and sleep in the forest? Like, no. Get me on that cart. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, you actually heard me doing. all that self-talk.
There's a lot of eavesdropping from comatose people.
What was the other instance?
Annie,
that's right. Yeah, that was a...
She's like, you guys haven't shut up for 4 years. You can listen to me in this one story. It's like, at least you kept me in the loop.
Yeah, and she ditched Hitch. Ditched Hitch. That's a nice little unexpected rhyme. But, and then Hitch's biggest concern is how am I gonna finish this pie by myself? It's like there's so much more going on right now.
Oh my god, that moment of Connie like realizing that Annie's out is not even like, oh my god, Annie's there. It's like, look at her stuffing her face with the pie. Like they both thought it was comical. I was like, what? This is great.
But yeah, Annie cannot be blamed at all for stuffing her face because I was stricken by how like visibly weak and sickly she kind of looked, which makes sense. She's been in that cocoon for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I that was something I actually didn't pick up on until that point. And I can't remember, did they say it explicitly that Aaron got rid of the hardening from all Titans, or was that just something that we kind of learned after the fact?
Correct. So Aaron got rid of the hardening, which released all the Colossal Titans, and that's when Armin had the realization of like, oh my god, if the hardening's gone, and then it cuts to the scene of Annie on the floor with all the, I guess, the melted diamond.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. The lead up to that whole situation where Aaron and Zeke found themselves at the coordinate, when Aaron got beheaded by that artillery shell, I was like, what the beep? Like,
yeah. Dude, Gobby's got aim. She's hit him right on the chin to make it spin off, and Zeke caught it like right before like his brain stopped. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that was a 10 moment for me.
Oh, for sure.
Because yeah. I was flipping out. That was one of the ones where I was like, I'll go to bed after this episode. And I was like, I'm not going to bed till the show's over.
Yeah. I don't blame you at all. And that just led to so many revelations in terms of like finding out how Grisha had this knowledge of the future and that Aaron was actually visiting him. And he was waiting for that exact moment for Zeke to bring him to the coordinate so that he could do that. And then, you know, like Grisha's kind of beside himself about what Aaron's ultimate goal is because the Attack Titan can see into the future, as well as just the story behind the founding Titan, Ymir. She was basically a slave to this barbaric king. And I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. They like fed her to this gnarled tree, which she fell to the bottom of and landed in this like primordial lake where there was a very psychedelic creature who I guess is in the legends. They said that she struck a deal with like the demon of all earth. I guess this is our iteration of that, which is much more pretty than how they depicted it on the tapestries and whatnot.
Yeah, because it's, you know, the propaganda aspect of it. You're writing it to match the history that you want people to believe.
For sure.
So while it is just a part of nature in this world, and this girl happened to reach somewhere, like, that's just how nature is. But it's like, no, we need people to look against the Eldians because they're devils. So we need to depict them as devils.
Well, yeah. And it kind of gave us some clarity on the history of Eldia. And it was like both things that we heard were kind of true. Ymir did use like the Titan's size and power to like basically build society and build bridges and provide this infrastructure for the future, but at the same time the Titans were a demolishing force for all their enemies. So it's again, the show mirrors the real world. Often there are three sides to the truth: your story, their story, and what actually happened.
Thank god there aren't actual Titans in the real world, but Ymir as the founding Titan looked badass.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That was insane looking.
Yeah. And you'll have to remind me of the character's name from Avatar, but she kind of reminded me of the earthbender that was...
Toph?
Yes, Toph. Yeah. Just her hairstyle and kind of having her eyes hidden and whatnot just reminded me a bit of her. Okay.
That was actually really cool in the flashback about, like, how because it was a flashback, like, everybody's eyes were just gone.
Yeah.
I like that design choice. It looked cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely an interesting and striking visual choice there. But it also makes me think about when she took the spear for King Fritz and he was like, oh, you're going to come back from this. I know you will. And then she didn't. And he's just like, okay, eat her. Wow.
And we find out where the walls were named after.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That was a cool. Like, I like how the show connects these things together. Like, all the subtle things that they put in season one, they're just like, they've been building to this all along. And that is definitely a fascination with the show, but this will definitely need a few more watches to catch up with everything.
Oh, definitely.
So with the history of Marley and Eldians and stuff like that, you know how I was confused about the Oriental clan last time? I was like, at what point do they communicate? So on Attack on Titans Wiki, like, you can look at a timeline, like, from, like, the beginning of this world, like, working its way down. And it was actually talking about how when King Fritz and what was the other family's name? The one that Aaron killed at the beginning.
Oh, the Tiber family. Willie Tiber and his family. Yes.
So that was when Fritz left. Tiber stayed. And at that point, they were reaching out for allies. And that's when they met with, like, the Asians and the people of the East. That's what I said on the timeline, not, you know.
Yeah.
Putting it in just, I can't even think of the word right now. Cultural appropriating. I'm not doing that. That's what I read off of the thing. So that's where allies and stuff happened. So people knew that they were there. And once they put the walls up for protection, because there was basically a civil war between Marleyans, and that's how they took advantage of that, took the Titans, put them in the little internment camps,
right?
And then King Fritz wiped everyone's memories. And because Ackermans and the Easterners weren't Eldians, they weren't susceptible to the mind wiping. So they were like, you will be royalty within this. Like, you will be like Hi-Fi people if you keep my secret. And it's the Ackermans and a couple other clans who defied the king, which is why they were
hunted
were hunted in the basements and the undergrounds and stuff like that. So I was like, seeing it like that, it made so much more sense.
Yeah. And then it did bring some threads to a close in terms of, like, we knew that Eldia or the island of Paradis had, you know, some resources that were very valuable, but then we got, you know, the clarification of was it called ice burst gas or something like that?
I don't even remember.
Okay, but it's basically what allows them to use that ODM gear, and it very much seems like, if it wasn't explicitly said, it's implied that I can't remember the name of the clan.
Apparently the chick's name is Azuma Bito.
Okay, so the clan that Azuma Bito is the head of, it becomes very apparent that they're using this gas to have these flying airships and whatnot, which was an integral part of the final episode that we left off on. It's like, how do we take this flying ship without killing anybody, without alerting them to our presence? And they had a pretty good plan in place, but it completely backfires.
Because we needed the engineers to operate it, right?
Correct. They said, Anya Capone, I believe the gentleman's name is, he was supposed to receive training on how to operate it, but he had not quite done that yet. So,
man, that was kind of a heartbreaking scene where the explosives were all around it, and Connie and Armin had to, like, approach their friends and kill them. Like,
Well, there was that one guy, Daz or Daze, who was, like, all the way back from season one, and he was the guy that was, like, begging for them to let him kill himself. And it's like, of all the people to make it this far, how did that coward get to this point? So, I mean, as heartbreaking as it was a little satisfying as well. And when Armin got shot, like, through the mouth, I was very, very concerned and a little surprised that he didn't have to go full on Colossal Titan to heal himself from that.
I think he was taking the slow heal, because if he went Titan, he would have destroyed the whole port.
Right, which is, I just kind of thought that was the way it was going to go. It was like, uh-oh, yeah. Armin almost died, so our plan gets, like, blown up, basically. But
I mean, it's been 4 years. I guess he's had some pretty good training and control.
Yeah, I mean, if Eren can be beheaded and last long enough to land in Zeke's hand, I guess Armin can take a shot to the back of the throat and
yeah,
make it work.
I was about to say, Tanjiro's probably sitting there with the hole in his chin from the sickle thinking, man,
Right,
we've watched too many cool characters get holes in their faces this year, and it's only March.
Yeah, that's going to take some deep concentration breathing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That whole sequence is cool. I like watching Mikasa just come in and mess people up.
Definitely. She comes flying through the window. And most of those guys didn't stand a chance.
I do like the dialogue between the Marleyans and the Eldians that kind of like led up to that. Like, they disclosed what happened to Marco because everyone didn't know about that yet.
Oh, right, right.
So that was like pretty heartbreaking for them. And then it was like, you started this. And even the general was like, we need to stop this. Like, he was the one the night before who was just being a douche about like, you guys are the devils and this and that. And him and John went at it. And Hanji's just trying to enjoy the stew.
Right.
And then just like the day after, it's like, asking, well, they weren't even asking, but like the scouts were talking about killing their own dudes, and it was like, you shouldn't even be a part of this plan. And like, what are we doing? Why are we even having this conversation? And I really did enjoy that morning campfire dialogue.
Yeah. And you brought up, you know, Rhina and Annie basically having to come clean about what went down with Marco, which leads to Jean just basically beating down on Rhina, and Rhina just takes it, but then he kicks Gabi when she tries to come to the rescue. And I really appreciated that the next morning he apologizes to Gabi for kicking her, but he tells Rhina, I'm not apologizing to you. And he's just like, yeah,
that's cool. I was laughing so hard.
We're good.
It was just on the horse card. It was like, I hope I didn't hit you too hard. Are you okay? Screw you, Rhina.
Yeah.
I do miss that, just the chemistry of everybody and having everyone together and it feeling very much like they just came out of the academy. Like, that dynamic is very nice.
Definitely. And it's great to have Connie back in the fold too, because he did have that little, you know, maybe three episode arc where he ran off with Falco, which, I mean, we haven't even covered that yet. Falco is the new Jaw Titan. We haven't seen him take that form yet, but I'm excited to finally see him do it. But it came at, you know, Porco Galliard's sacrifice. And I will say, so these episodes that we've watched in preparation for this episode, I finally have had to start listening to the sub rather than the dub. And
same.
Yeah. They're great voice performances, but I did find myself kind of missing Galliard in particular, because that voice actor, Kellen Goff is his name, he voiced a character on another anime that we talk about regularly, and that was My Hero Academia. He voiced Overhaul, and he just has this like great gravelly resonance that I really like, and I'm looking forward to rewatching that episode when he, you know, gets his final words to Reiner, like, at least we know that I was always better than you.
Chomp. I actually haven't watched that season in English yet.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay,
yeah, that's when I started watching the sub, because I was trying to keep up.
Okay.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I do enjoy like the intensity of the voices. Just because I think when you don't understand the language, you pay attention to tone more.
Sure.
And it comes back to, I will die on this hill, dub being better than sub does not make sub, oh no, sorry, sub being better than dub does not make dub bad.
Right.
And this kind of reassures that for me. Like, it's good. I've enjoyed, except for that. Okay, that is one thing. The Titan roars.
Oh, right.
Are absolutely 1000% better in the sub. Like, the Titan roars in comparison to Japanese and English are just like Goku from Japanese and English. It's just, it's awful. One or the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, those I missed hearing that like deep, aggressive, terrifying hair stand on your arm type of roar. It was epic hearing that again, especially because it kicked off with the 2-on-1 battle of the Armor Titan and Jaw Titan versus Eren. And that was sick. That was sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great. This is another clarification that the timeline gave me.
Okay.
There were two Galliard brothers.
Yeah. There was Marcel and Porco.
Okay. I did not understand that.
Yeah. Marcel was the one. So when
Marcel is the one that Ymir ate.
Correct. Yeah. There were four warrior candidates that originally went on that mission, and he was taken out well before they had even infiltrated like the cadet corps or anything like that. Yeah.
And the fact that Ymir has been a Titan before Grisha was even born.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, definitely.
There was a lot of perspective that was just thrown in there. I was like, dang.
Yeah. And then just kind of circling back to the whole sub versus dub, this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll get off my soapbox. But in the realm of voice acting, like in these big Hollywood productions and whatnot, there's been a transition the last few years just to casting notable actors as, you know, the voices and whatnot. So what I appreciate for dubs a lot is that it's giving these lesser known, like journeyman voice actors, a lot of opportunity to work, which I think is great.
Yeah. I've said this plenty of times. Like when I watch a show or a movie, whether it be live action or animated, I try to dwell, like I try to get into the story and the environment as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So I think me paying attention to even like something as minor as actors' names is new to me. I never kept track of the directors, the actors, anything of that sort until I started consuming media more, now even for the podcast. So like when you're doing The Boys Diabolical, it was like, oh, I know this voice because he's that actor from that thing.
Right.
Whereas when I'm watching just animated content, like just everyday anime and things of that sort, I don't know anything about the voice actors, and I don't make an effort to look up. Like, that's one thing about like supporting the actor in this and that, but like,
sure,
I don't pay attention to like he was in this or he did that. Like, I'm just focused on like what's happening on screen. So is one of the enjoyment factors of what you were saying about voice actors, and just kind of like it makes it easier to be part of that world. That's probably why I consume animated content more than live action.
For whatever reason, I just thought of Yelena, and she had a couple of moments in these episodes that she absolutely terrified me. Like, what exactly was happening? Oh, when she was standing on the wall and basically giving the whole explanation of Zeke's euthanasian plan, and then Armin tells her that he agrees with it, and she has that moment where she looks down at him with that expression. That gave me the heebie-jeebies. And then she goes from that expression to smiling. It's like, oh, great. I'm glad you're on board with it. You can see the logic behind this plan. But was disturbing, the expression on her face.
I can't wait till her and Flock die. Like, I just want them to die brutal, slow, gruesome deaths. I hate both of them so much.
Yeah, because who was it? McGath had her, like, pressed up against the rocks, like choking her out, and she's like, oh, I'm glad you didn't kill me, because now I actually have something to live for. I want to see you all.
He was like, I'm about to give you another elbow. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yikes. Ooh, yeah, that was brutal.
Just snapped her forearm in half. I was like, ah.
She deserves it though.
I enjoyed every bit of it, but it was still the snap.
Yeah, and she's not an outsider she's not from another land other than Marley, like we originally suspected. She's basically Zeke's little Yoko Ono, or whatever you want to call her, Zeke's original fangirl, I guess.
I'm not sure if I caught on to that.
I got the impression that he had basically set her up on this path from the very beginning.
Oh, from that. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
He spooned her.
Yep. She's a tall glass of water, and he's not drinking. Not yet.
She dies before he can.
Yeah.
Dude, the action. The action was sick.
Yeah.
I love how, like, our main heroes, I guess the four of them? It's four of them, right? Mikasa, Armin, Connie, and John. Like, they're kind of like just these Spec Ops dudes that just never die. Like, everybody else is getting splatted here and there. It's kind of like, all right, let's get stuff done. We see the Bros family a lot, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's the kid's name? Blonde kid?
Falco?
No, the girl that almost killed.
Oh, Kaya?
Yeah. And Gabi's kind of resolution was really nice. Yeah. And that kind of solidifies what I said, that like Gabi's had more character development in the season than anybody else. Like, you see her perspective change from, like, screw those devils, I'm not going to eat with those devils, to, oh my god, like, I killed someone that means so much to them, to why are we even doing this? And it's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah, that whole sequence, where she was running down the alley and had that Titan chasing her, and she's like, not again, why is this happening again?
Yeah.
Was terrifying, but yeah, Gabi's able to come to the rescue. She's
rocking that 50 cal.
Yeah, yeah. And then they have the little exchange where it's like, your actual name is Gabi? Mia is so much better.
That Titan, the one that was chasing her, was the military police commander.
Oh, was it?
It had the mustache. I saw the facial hair and I was like, oh my god, that's the commander.
Okay. Interesting.
And then soon after, like, Armin had to kill Pixis, and they had that quick montage of, like, all the moments and just saying sorry to him, and I was like, man, that was sad, but, like...
It was sad, yeah.
If you can, watch it again. I'm 98% sure that was the MP commander.
Okay, interesting.
The facial hair just matched up.
Was his name Niles?
Oh.
I think it was Niles. Yeah, he was the one that was always talking about his family residing in Walrose and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad ends to some of these characters we spent significant time with. But yeah, Pixis definitely tugged at my heartstrings. But
one other thing I'm not sure about. Did Aaron unlock all of Walmaria or all the walls?
I think they said all the walls because... That's what confused them at first. They were like, okay, he's doing the rumbling.
I thought they said the wall around Shiganshina would have been enough.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Why did they do all of Maria? So I was like, did they do Rose and Cena too?
That was my impression, is that it was all the walls, because everything we've heard is that the entire Earth outside of the Island of Paradis is going to be flattened. Hmm. So I think it would take all the Titans and all the walls to accomplish that. At least that was my takeaway. Because Hanji's like, genocide is not an option. It's just, we're not going to justify it in any way. That was my takeaway.
Huh? Maybe. I can't get over how confusing the memory stuff is. Like, for Aaron to influence what his dad did when he was the attack type. That kind of answers what we were talking about Aaron Kruger. And he was like, protect Armin and Mikasa. Why'd you say that? I don't know. So like, you saw into the future at some point, because apparently that's an attack titan thing.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. And didn't they say that made the attack titan, like, immune to the founding titan's influence? Okay, I thought so.
There was like a give and take with that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then Grisha's moment with Zeke, where he gets to, you know, apologize to him for being a bad father and whatnot, but he says, sorry, things aren't going to go the way you want. It's all going Aaron's way this from here on out. That's very foreboding.
That was weird.
Yeah.
The ghost of Aaron's past.
Zeke
was so cocky in that. It's like, we're going to watch everything and I can do the change. That was pretty sleazy, though. The way he was like, oh, I put myself in these chains. This is my realm. I wanted to see what you would do first. I was like, clever.
Yeah, they were playing quite a game of chess.
Yes.
He pulled that one off. But then Aaron's like, yeah, I wanted you to take me to my father's memories. Gotcha.
Did you ever watch Death Note?
I did. It's been a while.
Reminds me of that.
Okay.
It's like,
okay.
I did this. This is just like they were so far ahead of each other. And the whole season was just one after the other. It's like, my plan.
Yeah, light versus
L. Or some of those like Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. Chains between like Yugi and Kaiba where like one sequence just never ends.
I can't catch the Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference as well, but Death Note, yeah. I definitely get what you're going for.
So another Abridged reference I'll make, where there was one where the chains were going for a while, and then Yugi just goes, "Will I attack your mother?" It was just a whole sequence of like orphan jokes and just
what's the name of the team behind that, like Team Four Star?
Team Four Star.
Okay, because yeah, just the way you delivered that just reminded me of like some of the stuff in
yes,
yeah, Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's like, I'm drinking OJ now, it's apple juice, now it's beer, yay beer.
My favorite line isn't appropriate, so I'm not even going to try to. I'll tell you afterwards, but it cracks me up.
Does it involve Mr. Popo?
Yes!
I know what you're going for.
Holy. Yeah, have you watched the Team 4 stuff for Attack on Titan yet?
No, I need to, though.
Man.
I need to. I'm going to do it right after this.
Titans are my trigger. That's one of the most quotable ones.
Yeah, I look
especially
forward to
sweet Mother Teresa on the hood of a Mercedes Benz.
Okay. I can't that wait
was till Commandeer
I
Keith.
Oh, okay, nice.
Harmonize with me, maggot. Yeah. I think you're it's making like Krillin for Armin.
Okay. That stands to reason. Like, I could see that. I could see that. They're kind of the punching bags. You mentioned Gillian had some feedback. Do you feel like we're at a point where we can tackle that, or is there more you want to gush about?
It was an interesting question, actually.
Okay, cool. What do we got?
The one question from her was, as I'm scrolling through all these tabs trying to find it, do you think Irvin would have supported the rumbling if he was still alive?
Ooh, that is an excellent question. A real thought-provoking question. It's difficult to say because his entire motivation, we learn after the fact, is just to learn more about the Titans and the actual history of the world. So I want to go out on a limb and say that I could see him being in support of the rumbling. Yeah, he was always a guy to take gambles and just play the wild card. So, you know, given the fact that he was willing to sacrifice pretty much the entire scout regimen, I could see him being okay with such a strategic move to basically say checkmate to the rest of the world. What are you thinking?
Mine's a big hell no.
Oh, interesting. I'm glad we have different answers.
Because he was so strong and so adamant about for all humanity.
Oh, that's
true.
He
wants
that's
the
true.
Best for all of humanity. He wants hope and prosperation?
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Yeah, there's the word.
He wants prosperity for everyone behind those walls. Mm. So for him to know that there's a whole new world, he would have like, I feel like he would have been like an ambassador. He would have been great ambassador. He would have been a great negotiator. Like he would have been like Qui-Gon in Phantom Menace, where it's like he's got the tricks up his sleeve. But like I think he would have taken the story where I kind of want it to go, where it's, you know, all these threats are out there. And that this coalition of Marleyans and whoever else are attacking the walls, and you're protecting Parody, and then have to break down the walls as like the final defense. That's where I thought the story was going, and it's weird that the walls are on the attack. And I feel like for the what if version of the show, if Irvin was alive, that's where it would have been.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I appreciate the fact that you have a different answer, and I think you have very valid reasons for it. But still, somewhere I'm wondering if, you know, just the revelation that there was a world outside the walls and like all those scouts that he quote unquote sacrificed to combat Titans that were just basically Eldians fighting each other. I kind of wonder if that would have like shattered his worldview. I like your altruism and thinking that he would be an ambassador and it's all about humanity and whatnot. But I also wonder if that's a revelation that would have just like shaken him to his core. But I've got a follow-up question.
It's got to be about the people that he's fighting for, like going. Like I said, like how could you have 2,000 years of going through all this drama, and then like not even giving yourself 4 years of peace, like to know that his home is safe from Titans, like that should have been enough. Like that's where you can retire and relax, and like you've accomplished your goal at that point. You know where the Titans come from. You know how everything works at this point. Live the. The point of this is to live and explore without fear, and to go on the offense like Aaron has is such a slap to the face to Irvin and all the lives that went by. And I think Hanji shares that sentiment when she was having her like inner monologue and it was showing like all the people who died.
Yeah, that's actually
really it's nice seeing Petra again, even though she's still dead. But
I think that last point you brought up really drives it home. It's the fact that his handpicked successor, Hanji, is so staunchly against it. I think that's an excellent point, but it does make me kind of think of a follow-up question. We still have like Armin, you know, even after 4 years, he's still wrestling with this fact that he thinks he was the wrong choice. Do you think Irvin would be proud of the way Armin's conducting himself and the job that Hanji's done?
I think he would have been proud. He would have been proud of Hanji and Armin, but not of the situation.
Okay.
The fact that the scouts got so out of control as they did, it caused like another coup and became Jaegerist and Aaron getting like as far out of control as he did. That's where he would have been like, I love you guys, but what on earth are you guys doing?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But and it makes me think of it's really interesting how much of a lasting legacy the character of Irvin has had on all these proceedings going forward. But it also makes me think of Levi and his promise to Irvin to kill the Beast Titan and how much of a motivating factor that was for him and how he has been unable to deliver on that promise. Do you still, even in his crippled state, do you see a scenario where Levi is able to be the one that takes Zeke out? Because I certainly hope so, even if he has to be like, even if it's just a slit to the throat when like Zeke is all but incapacitated, I really hope he gets the opportunity to deliver on that promise.
I think he's saving his energy for that.
Okay.
He may actually just die afterwards, but I could see him using like his other two fingers to hold one of them and just not even being able to land and being in so much pain on every... He'll do it though. He'll do it with that one eye.
I'm wondering, are there any syringes left or is there any of that wine left? Can they like... I don't think Levi would willingly become a Titan, but maybe they have to turn him into a Titan in order to get him back into a fighting capacity. And what if he became the new Beast Titan?
I'm not sure if he's interested.
I don't think he's interested at all. I think he would...
I think he just wants to kill Zeke, and then if he dies afterwards, he just doesn't care.
Okay. I can buy that.
At this point in the story, like they even said that the Colossal Titans have crossed the sea and probably taken out the Rim of Marley already. Like,
oh, sure.
That's a big thing to just be like, wait, the genocide's already started and we're dealing with family drama right now?
Yeah. Well, bringing up family drama and, you know, part of Marley already being destroyed as well does make me think. We talked a little bit about Annie and her motivations, but just getting her backstory about how she was abandoned, we actually called that the fact that she was of mixed blood. It didn't work out the way that we thought it was exactly, but she was abandoned by her Marleyan mother, I think so. Either way. But she was raised by this outsider that was living in an Eldian internment camp, and he was not a kind father to her when she was growing up, but right before she left to go on that mission, he became the father that she needed and said, you know, I just want you to come back. And that's all she's focused on right now is returning to her father.
I'm loving her this season more than I've ever liked her in the past. She's just so open, and you're seeing more emotion from her, and there's purpose, and I don't know. Like, she's on a path, and there's logic to what she's doing because we understand the whole situation now.
Right, right.
And I just enjoy everything that she's in more. But man, I gotta say, when her and the armor titan transformed at the same time, right in front of Flock, I was like, yo, that is sick! And the post just started demolishing. I never thought I'd be happy for Scouts to die, but screw the Agorist.
Well, and that was one of the things about the cliffhanger we left off on. It's basically like Mikasa flying headlong towards Flock, but I was really hoping we'd see him bite the dust before the episode ended, but I guess we're going to have like a really drawn out and satisfying fight.
Yeah.
But something to look forward to.
Oh, for sure. In the two episodes we have left.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm sure we're missing something.
Coverage!
Yeah. Woohoo! Woohoo!
We got this dropping on Sundays in a couple of weeks. We got Young Justice dropping on Thursdays. Talk about it, but Moon Knight's coming up. Check out Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Much excite.
Yeah.
I've now watched two episodes of Arcane.
Nice. Nice. And what was that other one that you shared with me like last night? The Dota adaptation?
I think it was just called Dota.
Okay.
Dota and the Dragon Warrior?
Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah, Netflix recommended it to me, and I watched a thing, and I was like, this seems cool, and I watched the first episode, and the animation, the story seemed pretty interesting.
Sweet.
It's got dragons and knights, like, what's not to like?
Yeah, it's a winning combination.
I still need to watch Fire first, I still need to watch Jujutsu Kaisen. Dude, the last time I just sat down and watched something live action, unless it's like a movie in theaters. Like, I haven't even seen Peacemaker yet.
You haven't seen Peacemaker?
I haven't seen any of it.
You need to watch Peacemaker. Peacemaker is excellent. The intro is everything. I do want to thank Gillian for her feedback. That was a really stimulating question. But it also makes me think of some feedback we got in the past. And I will say, I haven't been able to watch the full episode yet, but I did watch like the first 5 minutes of Vox Machina, and it seems like one to look forward to. I really like the tone, so I will make a concentrated effort to knock that one out and cover it in some capacity.
I think Jeff has some interest in joining us on that too.
Ooh, yeah. So. Love to have Jeff back on. We haven't had him on since our first half of Bad Batch.
Oh, that's right. It has been a while.
Which, I guess Bad Batch got kind of like it. Bad Batch season 2 is still coming out, but it got kind of taken off of the release calendar. It's up in the air about when we will see that.
It's fine. We have content.
Oh, we got content for days, baby.
We got Obi-Wan coming up soon, too, so it's not like we're in a Star Wars black hole.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. I think I've said everything I want to say. I'm looking forward to seeing Falco's Jaw Titan form. Yeah, this has just been a wild ride. And like I said, it's a little bittersweet not to be able to binge it all the way through, but we just have two episodes to go. So,
do you brush your teeth? That's a very rude thing to ask a lady.
Oh, yeah, we didn't really talk about Peak. Yeah.
That wasn't really too much. It was badass with the armor. Or the Titan piercing rounds, the way that she was mounting up on the wall.
Yeah.
That was pretty slick, the way that she made the scouts think that they got her. And she really just got out, moved over, back on off like, nice.
Yeah, that was a good strategy. And was there a moment where you actually thought that she ate, like, Jean and Anya Capone and Yelena?
Yelena, yeah.
Okay.
That was in front of
Flock.
Douche Canoe Flock, yeah.
Yeah. I was a little hesitant about that one, and I'm glad that they gave us the reveal so quickly, because I noticed there wasn't any like blood or anything like that. It was a very encompassing
Nope, she's just this quick gecko that just came in and left.
Mm.
Right. Sean's just in the river, like, washing himself off and just, like, throwing water at Anya Capone. He's so mad at him. Like, clean yourself up!
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean's been a good, like, appropriate comedic relief.
Sean is still my favorite character after all said and done. He's just, he continues to be the most relatable.
I think people's perception of Sasha, even death, is kind of like amped up my admiration for her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's between her and Levi, who are polar opposites.
I mean, there's so many characters to love.
No, but like, those two are my favorite, and I can't decide which one.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I guess between living choice. Characters, it'd be Levi, but...
Mm. Yeah. Well, my friend, anything else you got to get off your chest, or are we about ready to put this one in the books?
It's NFL free agency. I got to join Reed Murphy on the 3-2-3 with Reed Murphy. It was a pretty fun conversation. A lot of ethical talk with the whole Deshaun Watson thing and being eligible to play in the NFL despite all the, you know, sexual harassment or sexual abuse allegations. So it was an interesting talk, one I didn't think I'd be getting into, but then there was just a lot of football, a lot of goofiness. There was that one point where he told me to pick my Final Four for March Madness, and I don't keep up with college basketball at all, so I literally just made up a school team for all of them. So it was a lot of silliness. It was very interesting. Like, news was breaking as we were recording, so we were just like live reactions flipping out about football stuff. It's been a very interesting free agency. So yeah, check that out. 3-2-3 with Reed Murphy.
Nice. Yeah, and on the subject of you guesting on his podcast, it's worth mentioning that we did have Reed as well as Emily Sissel. They appeared on an episode that we did a few weeks back where we took a little bit of a break from our anime coverage to do an episode that we called Batmanimation, all in preparation for Matt Reeves the Batman, where we covered all of our favorite iterations of the Dark Knight in animated form. And then, we also did our coverage of The Boys Diabolical with Matthew Carroll of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, and that was a lot of fun as well.
It's been fun having guests again, and because Andrew was our guest, but now he's just a part of the show, so it's him all the time. But yeah, we got a few people in the Stranded Panda Network who have called dibs on shows as they come up, so it'll be exciting to have a nice carousel of people coming through.
Indeed. We are very grateful to our network, Stranded Panda, as well as very grateful to you, the listeners. Thank you so much. We will be coming up on a full year of this podcast at the end of the month. So this is our 68th episode that we're recording right now. Last I checked, we had over 27,700 downloads. We're getting close to that 27,800. So it's been an awesome ride, and just having that level of success. I mean, we're not the biggest show out there, but just having that much success as the first podcast that either one of us has done, or I should say that I've done.
I mean, for me, I guess it's third time's a charm.
Yeah, but just thanks so much. Hopefully we can do kind of a nice celebratory episode when we hit that milestone. But, you know, if you do want to submit us some feedback, please do so at animationdeliberation@gmail.com. Follow us on our social media.
animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you. What am I doing?
Gotcha. Teamwork.
I should know it by now. We've been doing it for almost a year. But anyway, yeah, we've got Young Justice coming back at the end of the month as well. So it is just a great time for animation deliberation. So on that note, thank you everybody for tuning in. It's TOONIN.
Stay wound. Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.